Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, every member is a minister. And so tell the person, you're a minister. We've got a special guest this evening to come and share the word with us. He's a great friend of mine all the way from my hometown in the Karoo, Grofrenet, the fourth oldest town in the country. What a blessing. And Fani is the, him and his wife, Deline, are the pioneers of the church plant. They've just started a church there, a shofar church. And it's hard work, but it's he's a man of faith and he believes in great things. So I think we can put our hands together to welcome Fani Nell all the way from Grofrenet to Bloemfontein. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you. Thank you, Alistair, and thank you all. It's such an honor and a privilege to come and share with you guys tonight. I must say, I often misplace my notes, and then sometimes in Grofrenet, halfway through my sermon, I realize, but there was a scripture somewhere. I just can't find it now, but it was in, did anyone see my notes? So, Alistair, I've got my notes tonight, but I just want to tell you a little bit about me, to give you a bit of background, because this random dude picture, and he wants to share the word tonight. Alistair and I grew up in Grofrenet, but we actually met in a quite similar resort than yours. We studied in a small town that has a resort for young people down in Stellenbosch. We call it Marty's. And we studied not together. He was a bit ahead of me. But we met down there. And I just want to honor you, Alistair and Esther, for what you guys are doing. What a champion God's raising up. And for your support to us down in Grofrenet. And all of you guys, all the known faces. It's nice to come to Bloemfontein and see. But there's a lot of people here that already came to us. So thank you guys. I just want to honor you for that. And God's really doing some amazing stuff in His church at the moment. I want to encourage you with that tonight. Now, just before okay, a bit more about myself. That's not a lot about myself. I farm in Grofrenet. I'm a farmer. I farm with goats, cattle, lucerne. Most of my sermons is prepared on a tractor, 3 o'clock in the morning, baling lucerne. I remember my first sermon, I had to give a feedback to the Vaal in Shofar Malmesbury. I said on the way there was a ewe, one of my goats struggled to lamb, so I had to assist her on my way to church, stop, do this for 15 minutes, and then you go to preach your sermon. So that's the way God wants us to live. Where we are, there where you are, Elijah is my legend. If you can have a biblical legend, he was a man plowing 7 sets of oxen, and he was behind the last one. Go and read in 2 Kings, 1 Kings, towards the end of 1 Kings. And that's, God calls us where we're busy. He don't call us where we're lazy and being a couch potato. You got to get off your rest bank, and then God will move with you. Okay, so let me just pray for us tonight and for this word before we start. Father God, I just come and I want to humble myself before you tonight, and I want to pray that, Holy Spirit, you will just lead my words, and that the meditations of my heart will be found acceptable unto you, Father God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will minister to each one of us tonight, and that the word that I bring tonight will not be me speaking, but Holy Spirit, that you will have your way in me tonight and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now guys, I want to talk about something that's maybe a bit of a hectic topic, but I think we need to put it out there from time to time. I want to talk about fighting fire with fire, the refining fire of God. So when we talk about stuff that happens to us and to each one of us, and we go through seasons where different things happen. We cannot always explain it. And we often, in those times, give credit to the devil. We'd say it's Satan that's bugging us. It's Satan that's stopping us. It's Satan that do this. And so tonight's message, in essence, is to say, let's stop giving credit to the enemy. He's defeated. What do you want credit for? Let's focus on God. And I want to start this thought with Hebrews 12 verse 29, where it says that our God, the Almighty God, is a consuming fire. And it just struck me as I was preparing that we read in the beginning of Exodus, then chapter 3, where Moses saw the burning bush. You all know the story. And it was this fire, it was the presence of God in the bush, but the bush didn't burn out. So as we go into this message tonight, just keep in mind that when I'm in a place where God's consuming fire is taking hold of me, He's not going to burn me. He will consume me, and He will control me, and He will purify me, and He will refine me. But God's ultimate goal is not to have a heap of ash lying there. That's what Satan wants of us. And I think that's the one thing as I think about, okay, Lord, it's your consuming fire, and it sounds harsh, but let's unpack it, and let's take it from the angle where you go through last year, especially you students. You sit on campus. We don't have a campus in Crawfordnet. We have camps, and we put cattle and sheep and stuff in them. But you have a campus, and there's people, so there's trouble. And you had this whole Feast Must Fall vibe blowing through the nation. And it's tough. I can only imagine. I mean, I wasn't the hottest student, so it was a struggle for me just to go and study. Now it's all this activity preventing me from studying in the first place, and then once I studied, I can't go and write. That's a bummer. You now did all your effort, and now you can't go and write your exam. I usually wrote till middle December anyway, because I had to write a couple of hara back in the day. But that's not refining fire. That's just a bit of laziness on my side. So we as farmers went through one of the worst droughts ever. Oh, that's now sounding like my old man. It's always for them, it's the worst drought ever. But it's like the worst drought in a couple of years, 30, 40 years at least. And then in those situations, you get to a point where you cannot make more plans. There's not another plan I can make. There's nothing I can do to get out of the situation. And I think if we talk about the refining fire, it is to say that God's busy with the process of making us into the image of Himself, the image of Jesus, because Jesus is God manifested as a human being. So for us humans, He's building us into the image of Jesus, because that's something we can grasp, that's something we can read about and see. And during this process, I want to say that Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you." Psalm 23, when you go through the valley of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You are with me. Jesus is with us. And I honestly do not have the answers. And I honestly don't want to tell you it's easy, because it's not. It's not. And in my own life, there were times when I was still in Stellenbosch, and you've got a hand in your master's degree. So you did a lot of work. And in that those last weeks, those of you was busy with a thesis or writing a thing, and now you got a hand in, and it's this last finishing lines. And I was engaged at that time to another lady, and then she breaks the engagement like in those couple of weeks. Now you got a hand in your thesis, and then your world starts falling apart. The company you work for that's sponsoring the master's degree, they're going bankrupt. So now you sit in a situation where it's no use telling me good words. It's no use saying to me nice stuff, because I don't feel nice in this place where I'm now. And I know Alistair shared it, and the words tonight shared it, that a lot of times, especially you guys, you young, you've got so many decisions in front of you. You've got so many stuff to deal with. And there's not necessarily always an answer. But the thing is, if in those situations That was to me a turning point in my spiritual life, where physically I couldn't go any further. I couldn't fix it. A farmer wants to fix stuff. We want to fix it. I want to just fix the fence, fix the sick animal, fix the water pipe, and then it doesn't work that way. And then you turn to God and say, God, help me. I'm now really up to here. I'm drowning here. And I just have a feeling that God's saying to us that's fine, because I'm with you in that, if you're with me tonight. Now, there's a couple of times that we read about this refining fire in God's Word. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures tonight, but Ezekiel 22, verse 18 to 20, you can go and read a full description of how this process worked, where you've got this refining fire, and you've got this guy he's a silversmith. He's now making silver out of a lot of ore, a lot of rubbish. He's burning it, he's putting it in the furnace, and the furnace is for iron, so he's putting it in the melting pot, and he's now melting it, and he's working towards silver. Now, Ezekiel tells us, he describes a bit about it. Now, if you look at silver, it's not that significant a metal. I went and I couldn't remember it from my studied notes. I've studied engineering, but I Googled it, and it melts at about 900 degrees, which is not that significant. If you think titanium melts at 3,500 degrees, and metal, I think, is 1,200 or something. So silver is not a macho metal. But back in the day, for them to get to 900 degrees, where silver starts melting, was something. So they had to work this thing, and at 900 degrees, your lead and a lot of the other stuff, all of the other impurities, goes away. And as I looked at this and said, Lord, what's this with the furnaces and the fire, and Daniel and his friends were in the fire, there's something that you will read when you read about silver and back in the day, how they knew that this is now pure silver. When you look into the silver, you take off all the dross, the dirty stuff, every time, and you melt it again, and you take it off, the layer on top. And the smith will stop with this when you look into that pot, and he sees his own reflection there, because then your silver is pure. If you take your silver spoon, if you go and visit your Oma, and you look into that spoon, you will see your own reflection. And that's how they now we got clever. So now we just chrome plate everything. So it's not necessarily pure silver if you can see yourself nowadays. But back in the day, that was the test. And to me it was, wow, God, so you actually putting me through these things to see yourself in me. You want to get away. You want to strip me of these things. You want to strip me of myself. You want to get to Fani. You want to get to Fani's heart. And you want to look at me and see, but I'm so glad I made you. I'm so glad you came to this point. I'm so glad that you're now a reflection of me. Are you with me tonight? So when God takes us on this journey, it's not easy, but He's got a goal and He's got a purpose. And let's look at another scripture. I want to read this to you. It's in Deuteronomy 4, from verse 20 to 24. And here we also read about how God's now speaking to Moses. And he's now telling to the people what the Lord said. And he said in Deuteronomy 4, verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be His people, an inheritance as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and He swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Now take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. And the one thing that struck me about Egypt, and Egypt is always when we talk about this world we're in. That's normally the analogy God's using. Our sinful world, our spiritual place of idol worship, where it's about the money, where it's about coming first in the event, where it's about getting the honorary degree or whatever. That's Egypt. And to me, it was amazing when God said, yeah, that, listen, I've brought you out of the iron furnace. And that's something often the enemy tells you, you see, God's leaving you there. You see what this resulted in. You're now following God. Now you're in this melting pot. And that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because here God says, but that was never my idea. I brought you out of the iron furnace. My idea is to get you through this. My idea is to get you to the other side. And guess what? On the other side, there's a lot of stuff that will be gone. There's a lot of stuff that I would have established now in your life. You see, because every time the enemy comes to us, he wants to use stuff where you and I did things wrong. He wants to use that as a weapon against you to say, you come short. You fall short of glory. You fall short of salvation. You fall short of what Jesus did for you. And what God wants to do is that very thing the enemy wants to use as a weapon against you, God's forging into a mighty weapon in your hand to use against the enemy. Because when you go through this furnace and you've been sharpened, you've been molded into this weapon, and each of us has got a different gift and we've got different refining going on. But on the other side, the sweet revenge, I'm not quoting the Conquer series, but the sweet revenge, if you can now use the very thing the enemy wanted to destroy you with, to go and set the captives free, that I held captive in those areas, where they struggle with stuff that you now got a victory over, where God has now established you, and you can now walk the extra mile. So Moses can say to them, listen guys, you've come through a lot. But the goal is not the furnace. That's never been the goal. The goal has been growing into the image of Jesus. And the fire is symbolic of exactly the afflictions we're going through. Because we're not going through literal fire. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says that, let me just read it. I've refined you, but not as silver. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. That's a hard verse. And you would love for that verse not to be there often. But when you get to it and you think, but Lord, you've now tested me and I failed, and you've even came through me there where I failed in this test. Unlike my lecturer, you gave me a second and a third chance. But now, redeem me. Redeem me. I want to be fighting for you. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to build your kingdom. And now here comes the encouraging part. Because I want to come and encourage you guys tonight. The rest of the message tonight will be, I hope, an encouragement. That I was once, God often speak to me in stuff that happens around me. I'm in, my office is under the sun, so I'm in the nature all the time, and God speaks to me through stuff that happens there. And one afternoon, we were busy, my wife and I, and we've got two little girls. Some of you met them this morning. And we were busy there, Brian, and we saw smoke on the neighbor's farm. But it's that, it's 50-50. Is it smoke? Is it clouds? Is it whatever? It's 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. So you at a certain point know it's smoke, but you still think maybe it's not smoke. And then the phone rings and they're like, listen, it's burning and it's out of control, the wind's blowing, so can you maybe bring some men and help us? We've been fighting this fire for the whole day now. And now you get there. Now, I don't know, I mean, if you know, did anyone of you ever fought the fire? Okay. It's lekker werk, nee. It's nice. It's so rewarding. It's tough. Those water cans eating into your shoulders. And Graaf-Reinet is not like the Free State. It's not like driving to Bloemfontein and it's flat. I can't distinguish north and south in Bloemfontein. In Graaf-Reinet there's a mountain, you know, that mountain's north, and you can follow the shadows and stuff out. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. How do you keep your direction in Bloemfontein? It's just impossible. But I guess I'm just not that good as I thought I were in directions. But anyway, now you get there with your backpack full of water, 16 liters of water, and you walk into this flames, and now you start spraying it, killing it with water. And Ace and a lot of the guys will know that your water gets depleted very quickly, and then you got to walk back to the bucky, and the bucky gets further as you go further. So it's a tiring process, and every time you take too long to fill up your bucket or your spray gun, if you come back, it's burning where I've just been here. Now it's like burning again. Now I've got to be here. And now next time, I'm like, guys, you gotta hurry up. We gotta get this thing back there. And now you go back and it's this back and forth. And in that, some of the guys are there with shovels, and some of them are heating this fire. And then at some point, then the call comes on the radio. Listen, guys, you gotta get out there. The wind's turning. It's heading your way. Get out, and we'll do something else. And then you regroup, and then the farmer whose farm it is, obviously, he wants to save as much veld as possible. So then he sends guys like me, his neighbor, and say, go and make fire breaks. Now this work is you drive to his nice veld that's not burning, and you set it alight. So now you start fighting the fire in a different way. So now you drive to a place over here, you've been fighting there, the wind's blowing, there's a big fire, and now you start small little fires. You walk with a little torch dipped in diesel, and you light that piece of material, and you walk with this thing, a couple of guys, for meters on an open road, and then you just light the fire. And if it's you, I just think, yes, if this was me, I mean, how must this poor farmer feel? I'm now lighting his old veld. We're now burning kilometers of veld. And then you stand back and you watch and you just try and kill the small fire you started so it doesn't burn this way, it must burn that way. And as we stood there that late afternoon, it's now getting like outside. It's just, so the fire looks impressive and huge because it's now getting dark. It's this overwhelming sense of this fire outside. And you've now lit this small fire. It's burning there and you're like, guys, is this really going to work? Is this like, I don't see where this is going, if the wind turns now. And then you stand back and you sit there in your bucket and you can do nothing. You're at that point where you're so tired anyway, and you've been fighting and a lot of guys on different fronts. And then you sit back and you see how this small fire gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it burns into this big fire coming towards it. And the next moment, nothing. And as I watched this, the Lord dropped this into my heart. This has been, I think, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. If I light my Holy Spirit in Alistair, and I continue, Anik, and I go on, and I light a flame in each of you, all of a sudden, we go into this world where we get burned by Satan, where we get, it's tough, it's not nice, it's not lacquer, but now we come with with the consuming fire of God, against this raging fire that's killing communities, that's taking out houses, that's breaking down families, that's causing havoc on campuses. That's, you're like, God, what's happening here? And how will this help? How will this little flame in me help? But tonight you got to step back a bit out of your situation and realize that this is not a little flame. This is not like like my diesel torch with a little flame that's lighting. It might feel and seem little to you, but this is the consuming fire of God I'm talking about, the Word's talking about, that God lit in you and in me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts moving in a community. But it begins small. It begins with one testimony, a next testimony, next testimony. And it begins with us caring, us taking responsibility, us starting to have the conversation. Let's have the conversation on campus about Fees Must Fall. Let's have the conversation back in Graaff-Reinet about the drought. You want to pray for the drought, but what if God says in Psalm 66, that the rebellious people will dwell in a dry land? What if we start having that conversation, that maybe your rebellion, my rebellion is causing it not to rain? Elijah. That guy, the first one. He went to the king and he said to him, listen, you got to stop what you're doing. You got to get back to God. You got to get back to God. Because you know what? It will not rain. And it didn't even dew for 3 years. Can you imagine how dry it is? There's not even a drop of fog on your grass the next morning when it was cold the evening before. It was dry. And if we get into that place, that's where evangelism, that's the heart of evangelism. At the heart of evangelism is not us, what I shared this morning, preaching a nice gospel, hoping that a lot of people are like, yes, that's cool, I want to be part of that. Yes, let's chop off that part of the gospel. Let's custom make the gospel. The gospel's not custom made. The gospel is God's news. It's His good news for every situation, every person, in every situation. It's Jesus' victory over everything. It's you and me have a mandate to walk in that victory, to take that victory, break chains, set the captives free. To get to that place of evangelism, to get to that point where it's this consuming fire, where I cannot keep it in, I cannot be silent. I'm like Isaiah that says, Lord, send me. Here I am, send me. I've got unclean lips. I'm an alcoholic. I slept with my girlfriend. Lord, here I am, send me. Just purify me, but send me, Lord. Send me. I need to go. I want to go. And I think, a lot of times we like want to be fighting fire with fire, but it's this, you think of a fire that you make on a Sunday afternoon to have a barbecue. That you can control, you can put it out, you can have it a little, and then you can put it out again. But God's fire is not like that. God's a holy God. He cannot be in us with all this impurity in us. So He's going to sort it out. He's going to get the stuff out. Because otherwise He's not a holy God anymore. Otherwise He's not a righteous God anymore. And that's not something that must scare us today. That's something that when you're young and you're like, I don't have all the answers. And I just got to hang on to God in these tough times. And I got to trust and rely on the Holy Spirit more. And He's going to come through for us. Every time. Time and again. What did Daniel? And it's that famous quote where they say, listen, he's three friends. I'm not going to even try them in English, but Satrach, Mesach, and Abednego. That's not speaking in tongues, that's Afrikaans for the three guys. And he's got those three guys, and he said, listen, the king said, you got to pray for me, otherwise I'm going to put you in the fire. And they're like, bring it right on. Our God is a consuming fire, don't you know that? Our God is the God who brought us through out of the fire furnace. You want to put us in the fire furnace? He can bring us out the fire furnace. And then they end saying, and even if we don't, we won't bow to you. And that's, I think, tying in with what I shared this morning, where I was talking about us stopping the gospel and not sharing the whole gospel, is the fact that we like the Israelites. We want to go out of Egypt, but we don't want to go all the way. Stephen Lungu shared a powerful word on how Pharaoh said to them, you can go, but don't go far. And he says that because if you go far enough, you get to the cross of Calvary. You get to Jesus. If you go and worship God, and you go far enough, you go all the way. You say, God, all the way. I'm with you all the way. I'm with you through this fire. I'm going to bring it on. Bring the feast must fall, trees must fall, schools must fall, everything must fall. Bring it on. We're here. We're now going through this with you. Show us how. Show us how. And I want to close off because I really sensed during the worship, which by the way, Benny and you guys, it was awesome. Why don't you give him a hand, the whole worship team. I just sense during worship that there's something I must tell you guys tonight. And it's something outside our house. We live basically next to a mountain. The thorn trees and stuff start right there. I kill an average of 9 to 15 snakes a year there on our stoop. I don't kill snakes when I see them, just when they're there at the house. Because I've got a 3-year-old that's scared of nothing, and I've got an 18-month-old that's even... I must actually rephrase that. Yana is cautious. Loa is just a goer. She's famous in battle. That's what her name means. And she will battle even a cobra. So I rather than just kill them for her, because she doesn't know. She will go, slung, slung. Okay, now, I say this to you guys because as a parent, we were in a situation where we like, how are we going to keep this children safe? There's tractors driving, buckies driving, cattle coming, there's snakes, there's open dams. And you're just so, I know you guys can't associate with it now. Your parents can. My kid's going to varsity and it's going to be nice. I hope they do. Not 10% of what I did when I was there, because I can now remember clearly what I did, and I hope they don't do that. I hope they go to shofar soon. I'll drop them there. Say, you stay here. Monday morning you can go to class. I hope the pastor preached till 12 tonight so that you're here, and then you're in class and then in res. I hope there's a connect group there, and I hope they every night so that you're just there. Am I correct? Is that some of your parents? Okay. You probably got liberal parents. I'm a conservative guy. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, you get to a place where you're so tired because God, how on earth am I going to keep this child alive? How on earth am I going to do this? And God showed me a picture the one day that, you know what? When stuff happens to you and when it's bad stuff, and funny, I cannot explain to you because you will not understand, but God showed me this picture where as he was looking at me and you sitting here tonight, and Jesus was holding us in his hands. He was holding us in his hands in this image, and it's this trouble and it's this tough times, and the next scene, I saw this hand getting red and blood dripping from this hand. But it's not letting go. It's not letting go of us. As Jesus was hanging on that cross, he was not letting go of us. He could, heaven's host was ready for just one word, just one. Jesus would, he was just, I can see it in my mind's eye where they're standing, the army of heaven standing. They're just waiting for that Jesus must just give them a hint. That's why he said, not a lot on the cross, because if he just gives them that, you can, then they would have come. and you would have had rebellion in heaven. But Jesus was hanging on, and God the Father said that your kid, Yana, Loa, yourself, every one of you sitting here tonight, I don't care what the devil's telling you. I was holding you. I was saving you. I was saving you. I was there. I saw my son bleeding for you. So when I take you through this fire, it burns my heart. It's tough, but you got to understand my holiness, because if you come through this, if you get here on this side, if you come home one day and you're made into Jesus' image, which we will all be transformed into, then you will understand. I cannot explain it all to you now. Just hang on. Just hang in there. I'm actually doing the hanging on. You just do the faith part. You just do your part. You just do your bit. And I felt during worship tonight that God wants to say to a couple of us tonight, and I want to end off with this, that if it's you tonight that's wondering, why does a good God make bad things happen? And Alistair and I had to address that question in a question and answer in the school in Fall School. Why is it? I don't know. I don't know. But we live in a fallen world. We've given our authority over to Satan in the Garden of Eden. But what I do know is that Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is the victory. And Jesus came and He paid for everything. And as you sit here and you visit here tonight and you become part of this community where we say, listen, God, we are here for each other, because if you go through a fire tonight, which I don't know of, I'll pray with you. Because you know what? In a month's time, in 6 months' time, in a year's time, I'm going through fire, and then you can come and pray for me. That's how it works. And tonight I want to pray for people that sit here, and I just feel that we got to get to that place where God wants to bring us through the furnace. And it's been tough, and it's been hot, and it's been hell out there for you. And Jesus wants to say to you tonight personally that I did it for you. Though you don't understand it now, I want you to hang on to me. I want you to hang on to me. Just hold my hand, because I got you. I got you. You know what? I'm going to change Bloemfontein. I'm going to change Koffsie Campus with you. You are these men and women of God sitting here tonight. You are going to see the salvation of your generation. You were called for a time like this. You were called for now. God's not done with you. But as an encouragement tonight, I just feel there's people that, and I think let's take that step. And Alistair and myself will tonight, we want to pray with you. We want to trust the Holy Spirit to just come and complete the restoration. Just come, and from time to time, God says, listen, I will pick you up like an eagle. I will bore you on my wings. Where an eagle will throw his chick out of the nest, and it must start flying, and it falls, and it falls, and then the mother will just swoop in under it and lift it back up. That's what God wants to do tonight. I just want to lift you out of the heat for a moment. I just want to show you that I'm going somewhere with you. I'm going somewhere with you. And the next time when the going gets tough and it feels hot, and so often the enemy gets us to isolate ourselves, to go and sit on an ant heap somewhere, for me to drive somewhere, go and sit there, instead of say, listen, okay, let's go to fellowship, let's go to church on Sunday, and let's sort this thing out. Even better than that, let me just WhatsApp. I don't have cell phone reception, so it doesn't work always, but let's WhatsApp my Connect group, and let's get the guys to pray for me. So, guys, if it's you tonight, then come forward, and please, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will just lift you out of this place. Just come and restore. Just come and give that balm into the wounds. Because oftentimes Satan used that time when you're in the furnace to actually burn you. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing and restoration tonight. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. It's an old ancient song, and there's a verse about it. And Jesus is the balm in Gilead. It brings healing to the wounds. just listen in your heart. If the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and if there's other stuff you want to pray about, tonight's the night. We want to be here for you. We want to pray with you. We're going to stand in the gap for each other because we are brothers and sisters. We're a family. We're a mighty army. Mighty army. It's here to see God's kingdom come. We're going to see God's kingdom come here on this campus. And for the rest of you that's sitting there, I want to encourage you to just any way you're comfortable tonight. If you're not comfortable to come to the front, but if you're comfortable to pray with a couple of people, let's say groups of two and three, and we just come and say, God, we just want to declare tonight. You don't have to share your stuff. You just come and say, God, I just want to declare tonight that there's a work you started and you finish what you begin with every time, through history. And tonight you want to finish what you started in our lives. And we're going to pray for each other because we're the saints. We were raised up for ministry. So tonight, just turn there to your friends, groups of three, groups of five, groups of two. Just turn to someone next to you and just pray for this thing and say, God, a short prayer. God, we are holding on to you. And we pray that you finish this work in me, in Jesus' name.
I believe people need to respond, come to the front. If there's more people that need to pray with Fani, yeah, just come. Don't be shy. I believe there's more people. God's taking you through the fire. Don't be shy. Just be honest tonight where you're at and just come. And I just see us all kneeling before Jesus tonight. I just see a picture of us surrendering. Because I really believe God is calling us to total surrender. To total surrender to His, even the tough times. To say, God, it's you. It's you that's doing this. So if you want to just come and surrender here this evening, just be obedient. Let's not be comfortable tonight. Amen. Let's just surrender to the Lord totally. If God is calling you, just be obedient right now. I really believe this is such a word in season. So just come. If you want to pray in your groups, pray. Let's not be spectators this evening. Let's turn to one another and say, sure, this is applicable. This is how I'm going to respond tonight. But if you need to come forward for prayer, I want Fani to pray for you. Fani's going to pray. Just a short prayer of agreement, just to represent what God is going to do in your life. So, band, you guys can just minister as we all respond to the Holy Spirit tonight. Can we just have some facilitators as well? Yeah, this evening there's some people that have responded. If you guys can just come, there's ladies, men, leaders, please. Can we have the zone coaches? You guys, let's pray for people that have responded this evening. Thank you. Welcome to leave. If you do need to go, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We just want to say it's such a privilege to have you here in the house of the Lord. Please come again. Bring friends next week. Just keep faithful to the Lord's call on your life. So God bless you. Have some coffee at the back. But if you just need to still pray and do business with the Lord, don't rush. Just enjoy the presence of the Spirit here tonight. So God bless you guys.